kings of disaster. Let him in constancy follow the master.
I lie down before you and cradled in the love of Jesus, I'll find security.
We're calling our teaching today the Spirit of Adoption Sonship. The Spirit of Adoption Sonship. There might be several teachings with this, I don't know, but we'll see how the Lord leads in all of this. Now, this isn't anything new to us, or maybe to some. But I think as we've been walking and maturing and God working with us, I think we're going to appreciate our teaching and why we're looking at this and discussing this again in the light of Scripture. But I was reminded when reading that prophecy that I put online today from a saint in Australia. And if you look at this, there's some very interesting things that are said in this prophecy, because it referred to the birth canal, the labour pains, and so on. And I was very quickened in the spirit in light of my preparing this message when I received that. And it made me realize that God has sons he's preparing around the world. So often it's just seemed as though it's just us. But I can assure you the Holy Spirit has other sons who have seen this calling to the deeper life, to a walk of faith. And I was quickened by that prophecy. And if you haven't read it, I would encourage you to study it and look at it. But we're calling today this teaching the Spirit of Adoption Sonship. And we know in Romans 8 and verse 15, in Romans 8 and verse 15, it says, "For you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption by whom we cry out, Abba, Father." So through the baptism of the Holy Spirit, the empowerment, it says that we have not received a spirit that causes us to be in confusion or fear. On the contrary, but you received the spirit of adoption by whom we cry, Abba, Father. So the baptism of the Spirit that presents adoption, sonship, is going to give us a revelation of our Heavenly Father. We go deeper. We see the Father's love. We see what the Father grants us. This is what he's saying here. And then he goes on that the Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. Well, we're children of God when we're born again by the Spirit. And remember the analogy, when you are born again, Jesus is with you. And when you are baptized in the Holy Spirit, he is in you. And he's confirming with that baptism, sonship, adoption. And there's no fear, there's no bondage to this, because that is what will hinder those seeing and grasping and experiencing sonship. And it says that the Spirit baptizes us in order that if there's any bondage of fear, it will be dealt with, it will be removed. And has God not been working in that area all these years? I think that he has. If I can say in my own testimony and walk with God over the years, if anything I have seen God been working with me is dealing with fear. And we all know what fear is. So there are the clear signs of the power of the baptism of the Spirit dealing with that fear, so that we start to experience through our adoption maturing into sons and daughters of God. Well, let's couple that with what it says in Galatians. And I just want to look at two verses here. We will look at this later on in more depth. But it says in Galatians 4 and verses 4 to 6. Galatians 4 verses 4 to 6. But when the fullness of the time had come, God sent forth his son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, that we might receive the adoption as sons. So Jesus has given us by the Spirit, through the baptism of the Spirit, enabling us to receive and experience sonship. You see, the Holy Spirit is the only one who can reveal sonship. And we know that not all attain to it, because it's about training. It's about walking by faith. It's about decreasing that he increases. It's taking up our cross daily and following the Lord. But why is sonship revealed to us through the baptism of the Holy Spirit? Well, it says that he redeems us from the law, the bondage of the law, because nobody can keep it. But also, I'm reminded that Israel never kept her sonship. She failed to enter into it, as we know. And we may look at that later on. But I just want to explain again, just to remind us, that sons are by adoption. That is always the nature of sonship. You see, through sin, man lost his position of sonship and has been legally restored by faith through Jesus Christ. So we see that sin got in the way and he forfeited his position as a son. Let's just remind ourselves in Galatians 26:27. Galatians 3:26-27. Galatians 3:26-27. For you are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. So let's just look at those two verses here, what it says. For you are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. So it takes faith. And that is why we preach the faith message, total faith. It's faith in what? Not faith in FGA or the minister or whatever it would be. It's obviously faith in Christ Jesus. He's the one we put our total faith and trust. This is what sons do. Why? Because he has given sonship. It cost him his death and resurrection and being glorified into the heavens, in which to give back that sonship that man lost through sin. And it can only be achieved through the baptism of the Spirit and by believing by faith upon the Lord Jesus Christ. And verse 27, for as many of you as were baptized into who? into Christ. That's why we are strong on water baptism. That is the only name above all names. It says that whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of Jesus, because you are being baptized into his death, into his identification. And it means that you have put on Christ. You now have become Christ-like. This is where we get the idea of the word Christian. You have put him on through water baptism, going down into death and rising up in resurrection. It is the only name above all names, and he is the first son, now seated at the right hand of the Father, and many sons will come on to glory as well. That's why he's gone before to prepare the way. But all of this, we know we have to be trained by the Spirit. So the baptism then in the Spirit confirms this to our hearts. And this is very, very important, that you got this confirmation. It's not only a confirmation, but it's an experience. You know what you are called for, what you're destined for. I remind you again in Romans 8:15, which he says, "For you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption, by whom we cry out, Abba, Father." This is what you receive. It's a revelation to you. It has to be revealed to you. And this is why you find some see this and some don't. Some have left FGA over the years, but they didn't see sonship because they didn't receive it. God gives this to whom he will. And if you see this and you know this, then blessed are you. For flesh and blood does not reveal this to you. Hallelujah. You've received the spirit of adoption. And that's why we cry out, Abba, Father. It's that cry in the gut, in the depths, in the bowels that cries out. And it's a cry that the Father hears. It's the same idea of a mother who knows the cry of her child. She knows those different cries. And it's the same here, this same idea. And this is why we're groaning. And this is why we have the Revelation 12 of the man-child and the son being birthed. These labor pains, this crying out to be changed, to put off the flesh and to put on this new man, this glorified body. This is what it's referring to. And how does God achieve this? Through our trials and tribulations. This is how he works this within us. And we go back again to Galatians 4. And again, we remind ourselves what he says back here in 5-7, to redeem those who were under the law, that we might receive the adoption as sons. You've got Christians today who want to go back under the law. They feel more safe when they're told what to do. And they're given rules. And you can do this and you can't do that. But God has redeemed us from all of that. And because you are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying out, Abba, Father. He has sent the spirit of adoption to you. This is his choice. Therefore you are no longer a slave, but a son. And if a son, then an heir of God through Christ. So you see, through salvation we become part of the Christian family. Of course we do. And we should be baptized by the Spirit into a body to function. But sons are another thing. As we're told in Galatians 4:5, to redeem those who were under the law, that we might receive the adoption as sons. So we get an indication that we are no longer bound by the law in any way. Whom the Son sets free, you are free indeed, the Word of God says. We're not bound by the law. We're not bound by festivities. We're not bound by keeping Sunday or the Sabbath. We fulfill all of this every day in our lives. There's no special day like Sunday that we set apart as a Christian. Sunday is every day for the Christian. The Sabbath is every day for the Christian. Why? Because he's redeemed us from the law. He's redeemed us from unbelief. Keep running to the arm of the flesh, trusting God. So when we become Christian, we obviously become part of the family of God, the body of Christ. But sons stand on their own in many ways. It reveals one's legal standing in relationship to your father. That's what we've just read back in Romans 8:15. That is revealing a relationship, a standing God has given you through adoption. You receive that adoption through the baptism of the Spirit, and now he's working with us day or night so that we mature into sons and daughters of God, into maturity, manhood, in other words. And now, having said that, we can go back to Galatians 4:1-6, and we can begin to see this now in a different light. Because he says, now I say that the heir, as long as he is a child, does not differ at all from a slave, though he is a master of all. So you receive sonship, adoption. He refers to slaves, because obviously slavery was so common in those days. Of course, it's never gone, but it was a different time and dispensation. And he says, you may look as though you're a slave, and you may be amongst the slaves and doing slaves' work at times, but I want you to know that you're actually different. You are adopted. You have sonship set upon you, and I'm keeping you as slaves at the moment because that is where you'll be perfected. And what is a slave? Well, a slave is nobody. A slave often isn't thanked. A slave can be ill-treated. A slave has to be working and has to be on call any time the master calls. That is the nature of a slave. And he says he doesn't differ from a slave, though he is master of all, but is under guardians and stewards until the time appointed by the Father. So in other words, even though we're slaves, we're servants, we're in testing, we're going through the trials and the tests, you can be well assured you have a guardian over you who's preserving and protecting you and is calling you for the time appointed by your Heavenly Father, whom you cry out, Abba, Father. That is why nothing can destroy us. This is why we are preserved and kept through our trials. Even though it looks as though we're walking like the rest of them, But one day that separation will come. And what will be the separation? It will be the rapture, the taking away of the first fruits, the wise virgins. Even so, when we were children, were in bondage under the elements of the world. In other words, we were worldly when we first got saved. I was, until the baptism came, and then I began to see things so differently. And then it speaks about the fullness of time when God sent forth his Son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem us. So he's the first Son that's gone before, and all authority, might and power and dominion is given unto him, and he shares that with the sons of God, because we're co-heirs with him. Now it's interesting that Paul is using here Roman law. I believe also the Greeks use this principle as well. And a child at a certain age could be adopted or could be placed in a position as a son. And at that right time of age and maturity, then they were given all the rights and the privilege of a son with authority. What were they called for? Because they were going to take over the household eventually. See, families had to go on each generation. But each of those families, those generations, they had to be preserved, and they needed examples to keep family together. And this is what God does. So God is raising the sons of God, giving us this position and everything to keep God's family together, to keep the body of Christ together. And in heaven and through the millennium, can you not see the connection in all of this? Because you know as well as I do, so much of Christendom out there is in a mess. They don't know who they're following. This is why there's such confusion. But God has delivered you and I from all of that. We know where we're going. We know where God has put us. We know what God is working in and through us. What a privilege. What a deliverance. So that God will use us as sons in these last days. You see, adoption places on us a legal position as a son. So adoption is like a legal document. There is a legal document that God has signed and has said, you are adopted, you are going to be a son in the house of God. And it's legal, it's binding. That's what's so tremendous about this. What does it say in Galatians 3 and verse 26? Galatians 3 verse 26, for you are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus, because we have been baptized in the Holy Spirit and receive adoption through the baptism. And that's when Paul then writes that in chapter 4. You see, we've got to remember that Israel didn't reach maturity. This is why I make much about this, because she perished in the wilderness. She refused every time God's ways. All they wanted was blessings. They failed to see that the wilderness was to work out of their hearts Egypt, Babylon. That's why they were in the wilderness. That's why we go into the wilderness, because the wilderness is the best way to remove our reliance, our affections on the world. And that is the best way that God brings deliverance. And we spiritually have our wilderness experience, as we know. And this wilderness experience can be long and arduous. Very little seems to happen. It can be dry and barren. It doesn't seem many are out in this wilderness. Very few, in fact. It seems almost miraculous how we can continue to survive and follow the Lord and continue to meet week after week in these conditions. And yet we do. As I've said so many, many times, this church shouldn't work in the natural. We're scattered around. It's not always easy to meet up as we would like, and yet look how God works. Look how he moves. It is a miracle. Trust me. And so Israel, she didn't reach her maturity, her sonship. And that sonship, that maturity, that authority, Adam, Eve, they forfeited it. They were sons. They had dominion. But sin got in the way. And so Christ is the only one who can restore this back to the body of Christ. And some see this and some don't. But once you see it, once you taste of it, you can't go back. Because you realize this is something wonderful. This is something very great. This is a tremendous blessing from our Heavenly Father. And there's nothing like maturing and growing up as a Christian. We all of us know lots of other Christians, and it's not to criticize. God forbid. They're a blessing. They're lovely people. But so often you find with them there's such immaturity. There's so much they don't know or see or experience. And you long, don't you, for them to experience it. You long for them to taste what you're tasting. And some of them see it and some of them don't. And this is why there's a group, a remnant, that are in the process of training and maturity. And this is what God has been doing with you and I. And he continues to do it. We never thought it would take this long. But God knows. He has everything under complete control. And what is maturity? What is the key to it? Is yielding. Is yielding to the Spirit and not resisting or fighting him. But simply yielding over and letting the power of God work in and through us, both to will and do for his good pleasure. This is how it's done. That's why you see many are called, but few are chosen. Jacob had 12 sons, didn't he? But only one of them was chosen to do a great work for God. And this is how it's seen also in God's family. In God's family, there are some who are chosen by the Spirit for maturity to go into sonship. And some see this and some don't. Because God is going to have sons in these end times who will mature and develop in the faith into sonship. There are too many who want to remain children in Christendom, and you can't. As I've said before, if you have a child and that child doesn't start to grow and mature, you will soon become concerned as a parent and you will be aware something is not right in their development. Well, how about taking that over into the spiritual? We seem to be blinded by that in the spiritual, and yet we are to grow up, to mature into sonship. But few do. Few do. But it is there for those who see it and want it. Many are called, but few are chosen. And the signs of sonship are you remain faithful to the word of God. You remain faithful to the walk that God puts you in. You remain faithful in the church, the fellowship that the Holy Spirit baptizes you in. These are all clear signs of maturity. As I said earlier, there are so many Christians running around from church to church, ministry to ministry, never maturing, never growing up, confused. That is not a son. You have to settle it with God. God doesn't make a mistake with us and over our circumstances. And so often it looks stupid. It looks ridiculous. In the natural, you think, well, this can't be God. But this is why we walk by faith and not by sight. Who would ever thought that God would bring a nation out, Israel, and take them into the wilderness and there to meet up with them? But that is the Lord. He knows what he's doing. And it is the same with us. God doesn't make a mistake over us. And this is why these things are divinely shown to us. They are revelations. This is God making these things known to us. Sonship, as I've been showing you in Galatians and Romans 8, is revealed by the Spirit that you are baptized by, that you cry out, Abba, Father. As Christ is now the Son seated at the right hand of the Father, he now will bring many sons to glory as well. But it has to be revealed. And that is the point. But sadly, most of the church today rejects its sonship. It only knows it theologically as a study, but has very little understanding that that is what God expects the church to grow and mature into. It's not just a theological study. It's to be experienced by the Holy Spirit. And that's why we have Revelation 12, that the sons of God will be birthed, will be born, will be revealed to groaning creation, Romans 8. Everything's groaning. Everything's under bondage, and it's going to get worse and worse. And the sons of God with Christ are going to deliver this groaning creation from its curse and under the law. And it's coming, brothers and sisters. It's coming. And you play a vital part in all of that. And that's why we can understand why we go through the trials and the testings that we do. Why God calls us to be faithful to our calling, to be faithful to the word of God and to prayer. At times where it seems that you're the only one, it seems as though everyone else has left you. As I've said many times, maturing and growing up as a son can be a very lonely thing at times. But God doesn't make any mistake. But you have to have, as I finish now with this, it has to be revealed to you by the Spirit. And not only is it revealed to you, but you experience the power of the Spirit that begins to work through adoption this sonship. because you cannot do this in your own flesh. It can only be a work that is done by the Holy Spirit. And how is it done? By yielding and not resisting God. When God is speaking to us, or he's working in areas or whatever it is, or with our faith, instead of resisting him, just yield. And many, many times yielding is simply letting go. Your trials are to let go so that God can take over. You won't go under. It won't be the end, as the enemy tries to suggest to us. On the contrary, how God brings you through trials is a miracle. I can never work it out, but he does. And that is the grace and mercy of God. And they're all designed for each of us in which to work maturity. And as I say so often, it's free, but it's not cheap. So there we are. We've sort of introduced today this interesting subject, the spirit of adoption sonship. And I think probably there might be some more to this next time. It's quite a big subject, but I trust that this has clarified things to you. I know we've studied this over the years, but I think it's important to go over these things to remind ourselves and to see where at times we've missed something or whatever. Well,
let him in constancy follow the master.